You're listening to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Today, we continue the conversations with New York Times bestselling author Lee Strobel as Hank and Lee dive into the reliability and factual evidence surrounding the Bible and clearly laid out in Lee Strobel's The Case for Christ Study Bible. Did Jesus claim to be God? Can we trust the New Testament? Does science point to a creator? Well, through several features, this remarkable Bible will provide you with the information necessary to help you answer these pressing questions and much, much more. Join us now as we continue our discussion with Lee Strobel and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Always great to be in studio with Lee Strobel. And I wonder how many of you recognize what an incredibly fantastic epoch of time that you live in. Think back just a few hundred years. If you go back to the 1600s, prior to the time of the invention of movable type, the only Bible extant in the English language was represented by the translation work of John Wycliffe, the morning star of the Reformation. And because he translated the Bible into the English language 44 years after he died, Pope Leo V had his bones exhumed, burned, and the ashes unceremoniously scattered to the wind. And some of those ashes, no doubt, made their way to a man named William Tyndale, who began translating the Bible because he believed that the boy who drives the plow should be as familiar with the Bible as was the Pope. 1536, October 6, he was martyred, and his body ablaze, he cried out, "O God, open the eyes of England's king." And that prayer was answered by King Henry VIII, who had a Bible of largest volume chained to pulpits around the land. Well, today we have Bibles of every shape and color and size. And now we have the opportunity not only to read the English Bible, but to have study Bibles like the one we are featuring today. I mean, we take these things for granted, but this is an incredible breakthrough to have the Case for Christ Study Bible replete with notes, replete with evidence for the creation event, replete with evidence for the central event in Christianity, the resurrection, replete with evidence for the case for the Bible itself. In other words, you not only have the Bible, but you have the case for the Bible, so you can demonstrate that this is, in fact, divine as opposed to merely human in origin. We have all the evidence right in the Bible itself. So this is an extraordinary resource no Christian family should be without. Don't take it for granted. Order today. You can do so on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to your resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, but don't delay. Order the Case for Christ Study Bible today. It's an incredible resource, not just for yourself, but think about this resource as a graduation present for someone graduating high school, heading off to university without a tool in their hand. You can put a tool in their hand, and it will be a gift, Lee, that keeps on giving.
Hank, I am so glad that you started the show the way you did, because I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else, we forget the history. We forget why we have a Bible available to us. We forget the men who died because they had a passion to deliver God's word to the plowman, to the average person. I mean, we can't forget that. We've got to remember the sufferings of the martyrs, the people who blazed the trail and said, you know, this is so important to make the text of the Bible accessible to people. I hope we never forget that. And, you know, I think I treat the Bible with reverence and awe because of what it is, what it's done in my life, what it represents, what it means for the world. It's hope. It's the story of redemption. It's the story of the resurrection. Peter, of course, links hope specifically with the resurrection. It is our anchor. It is our hope. And we read about it in accounts that are credible, that are eyewitness-based, that are right there from the first century, that multiply attested and so forth. You know, it has, I approach it with awe because of what it has done in my life, how it has enriched my life, what it draws me closer to God. And, you know, it's humbling to have spent the last 18 months to 2 years putting together this Bible with hundreds and hundreds of notes and articles to try to illuminate Scripture, to try to bring a perspective from maybe outside Scripture to say, yeah, you may think this sounds a little far-fetched, but here's some extra-biblical evidence that even supports that. And it just to give us confidence, to give us ammunition to be able to talk with other people when they have a tough question about God, that we can have a resource to use for evangelistic purposes. So I'm passionate about it, as I know you are. I heard you speak at the Battle for the Bible conference down in Florida recently, and your passion just came through to say, you know what, let's not take this for granted, but B, let's use this resource. Let's use the Bible for our own edification, but also for evangelism, to reach the lost, to help them understand their need for salvation, the hope that is in Christ. So I'm passionate about it. And you know, the team at the end of putting this together, of course, the entire text of the Old Testament and the New Testament through the NIV translation, and then putting together these notes, I think we kind of sat back and said, you know what, if we can, in our small way, provide a resource that can enrich people's lives, but also help them reach others, especially children, especially the next generation, especially those vulnerable kids who are now on the internet, where there's, yes, all kinds of positive stuff, but a lot of half-baked stuff that people are throwing out there, almost like throwing sand in the eyes of Christians to confuse them and to raise doubts and so forth. To have a resource that would be useful to them, that was our goal, and I hope that people take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to be able to promote it, because we are, this year in particular, trying to tackle the problem of biblical illiteracy. And as I've said many times on the broadcast, it's not a problem, it's the problem. So to have a resource like this available to us is a blessing indeed. Of course, it answers our deepest longings. It answers the most significant questions of life. It also answers many of the trivial questions that might come up when we get confused. What does this verse mean, and how do I contextualize this with the rest of the Bible? The answer is available in the Case for Christ Study Bible. I know a lot of you have questions. We'll go to the phone lines, take a few of those questions right now. Andrew, listening on Bot Radio in Lawrence, Kansas, you're on with Lee Strobel. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Are you a Jayhawk? Is that Jayhawk territory?
Oh, yes, sir, all the way.
You know, I'm a Missouri guy.
Oh, no.
You know, Tigers eat Jayhawks. You know that, don't you? We're Tigers. You're a little Jayhawk. You kind of flitter around. We're Tigers, man. We're meat eaters.
That may be true, I guess, when it comes to God's creatures, but I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, anyways, I just had a quick question.
Sure.
I'm sure it's one that's brought up a lot among people, and I know I've heard it before, but it's just to do with Judas. You know, in Matthew 27, of course, it says he hung himself. And then Acts 1:18, it talks about how he fell headlong and burst asunder and his bowels gushed out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, because Luke, being the physician that he was, might have gone into a little more detail, is my guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but anyhow, I just really was kind of curious what your thought was on that, and like the explanation for that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's definitely a valid one.
Yeah.
I'm expecting. So.
Yeah, it's a great question, Andrew. And it's a good example of what we often see. We often see things that on the surface appear to be contradictions. Well, wait a minute. Did he hang himself, or did his intestines fall out? I mean, what's the story here? And, you know, this kind of apparent contradiction, there's lots of inscription. In fact, I was told once by Norman Geisler that he collects these. And I think he told me, I have the number in my book, Case for Faith. I think he told me he says, like, 570 or something. I mean, and he said, you know what? They can be harmonized all the time. I mean, there's always virtually always an answer. Sometimes there's some ambiguity. We don't know for sure. But, you know, was there one angel at the tomb or two? Well, whenever there's two, there's always one. And somebody's being a little more complete. And I think you kind of hit on a little bit when you said that Luke, being a physician, may have been a little more complete. What apparently happened, and this is a logical possibility, is that Judas did hang himself. He may have done it over a precipice of some sort, hanging from a tree. In the heat of the sun, his body dried out, perhaps the rope dried out as well, and it was released. He fell, and his intestines gushed out. So, you know, there's a way of harmonizing that that makes sense. In fact, I was just reading a manuscript of my good friend Mark Middleberg, who's writing a book on apologetics, and he cites an example of a college professor of his who got two what sounded like absolutely irreconcilable descriptions of how a friend of his had died. And he can't figure out how to put these together, which is right. And yet when he gets to the bottom of it, turns out they were both right. They were just, one was offering a little more description than the other person. That's often what we see in scripture, is somebody will be a little more complete. And I saw this as a journalist, you know, when journalists report on an event, and you read the New York Times version, you read the Chicago Tribune version, you read the Los Angeles Times version.
Right.
They're reporting the same event, but some people may have more detail. Some may
exactly.
have taken more space, or as you say, Luke, being a physician, may have taken a little more note of the medical interest of, mm-hmm. you know, what happened there. But it's a good example of what we should do when we come up with a apparent contradiction, using resources like the Case for Christ Study Bible or the great resources available at equip.org that Hank has available. You can find a way of harmonizing that makes sense and is not stretching things unnecessarily.
I think, too, that no Jew would have ever touched a dead corpse during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They would have defiled themselves.
So it would have been left there.
It would have been left
yep.
there for a long time. So yep. absolutely right.
That's a great insight, Hank. And again, there's an example of a fact that you may not pick up from Scripture necessarily, but somebody like Hank, trained in that, will pick that up. And that's the beauty of apologetics, where we can, you know, bring that kind of information to bear, and hopefully in the Case for Christ Study Bible and other resources, illuminate. I remember when I was a new Christian, I heard a talk by a theologian. He was a New Testament scholar. And he was talking about Jesus, and he mentioned some things, and I thought, wow, that really illuminated that passage in a way that, golly, I was a brand new Christian. It just blew my mind. I went up to him later. I said, where do you see that in the text? Because that was really a great insight. And he said, well, you have to understand this and this and this. And he brought to bear his understanding of the first century world and Jewish custom and so forth. And it all fit together like a beautiful puzzle. And I thought, wow, I need to study more. I need to understand more of the context and the biblical background so that I can read Scripture and put it into context as I read it and see these things that otherwise I would miss. So I think, Andrew, it's just great to have those kind of questions that come up, because when we research them, you know, what we find is there are good answers.
Right, yeah. And I knew there was one. I was just trying to find the best one
yeah.
Illustration or example to give to an atheist that I actually work with. And I haven't done much researching on it myself yet,
yeah.
So I thought I would just try and call in and see
sure.
if I get the answer a little quicker and a little more clear.
Well, I'll say this, Andrew. You know, you because you live in Kansas, you don't have to be a Jayhawk. It's not. There's no law. There's
yeah,
no. It's not. It's not. I'll tell you what. It's not in the Bible.
Well,
so
you're kind of born into it, you know what I mean? You're just born a Jayhawk, so I can't really help it.
It's genetic, huh?
So you think just basically what you're saying is he might have just been there for a period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one account giving a little more description than the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Not
so, I mean, the basic
way.
Idea that you have here is you have Acts, Dr. Luke, adding information to what you find in Matthew. Matthew says Judas hung himself. He would have been hanging for a long period of time due to conditions on the ground. You have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and no Jew is going to touch that body. So the body then has an opportunity to decompose in the hot sun, and then what happens naturally is, as it decomposes, it's going to burst open and the intestines are going to gush out, and Dr. Luke makes that information. But I also think it's important, and Lee has talked about this often, to realize that what the Bible gives us is complementary information, not contradictory information, and the complementary information demonstrates that the gospel writers do not participate in collusion.
Yeah, that's
if
a
they
great
gave
point.
The information the exact same way, we would immediately yell collusion.
That's a great point, Hank. You know, Simon Greenleaf, the great scholar, legal expert, wrote a treatise on evidence, was one of the founders of Harvard, makes that very point and says, you know, the gospel accounts of the resurrection, they bring different perspectives enough that they show that they have independent accounts that are being brought to play, and yet they all narrate the same great transaction and show a commonality. That shows there was no collusion, and we're dealing with multiple sources, which is positive in terms of the historicity of the event.
No one knows that better than Lee Strobel, as an investigative journalist, and of course his resource, The Case for Christ Study Bible, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You want to order today, order right away, and order multiple copies, you can do that. Again, at equip.org, in a safe, secure fashion, or just talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and more of our conversation on The Case for Christ Study Bible and your questions. Be right back.
Order The Case for Christ Study Bible or any of Lee's other books or DVDs today by going to equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more to equip you in your fight for truth after this short break. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-274. That's 888-7000-274. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Whether you are a Christian seeking encouragement in your faith and knowledge about God, or you're a seeker or skeptic searching for spiritual answers to life's deepest issues, you'll benefit from Lee Strobel's extensive research into Christianity. The articles in the Case for Christ Study Bible will guide you through a fascinating investigation of the Bible's claims, giving you greater confidence in the reliability of the Bible, a renewed enthusiasm for the Scriptures, and teaching you how to apply biblical truth to enjoy a more Christ-centered life. To order your copy of the Case for Christ Study Bible, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and guest Lee Strobel.
Thank you, Randy. And again, the Case for Christ Study Bible, drawn from Lee's own experiences and featuring his journalistic style from his days as an investigative reporter with the Chicago Tribune. The notes in the articles throughout the Case for Christ Study Bible are designed to motivate you to investigate the Bible's claims for yourself and to set yourself apart from the herd. Because the herd, unfortunately, even within evangelical Christianity, Lee, are people who are increasingly biblically illiterate. They have all kinds of Bibles and resources, but they're not using them. And our hope is that the Case for Christ Study Bible will intoxicate people to get into the Bible and get the Bible into them. The resources in this Bible are quite extraordinary.
Well, thanks, Hank. We spent about almost 2 years, I said, putting this together, drawing on material from a variety of sources. I think you're right in your observation. You know, I think a lot of Christians these days hear about the Bible. You know, people tell them things about the Bible, and that's fine, but we need to get into the Bible. We need to spend time in God's Word, and we need to sometimes have those kind of helps along the way that can give us a context and give us some information that we may not know about, to make it readily available so that it could illuminate what the text is telling us, give us a richer experience perhaps, but nothing substitutes for getting into the Word of God. If you're reading a lot of Christian books that talk about various Christian things, that's fine, but at some point you got to be into the Bible to be your main source for spiritual growth and sustenance.
Yeah, and I'm reading through the Bible myself, and I am so excited. I don't know what it is this year, Lee, in particular. I'm more excited about reading through the Bible this year than I've ever been. And we were talking about this privately in my office before the show, but I think in some sense it has to do with my own mortality, recognizing that I'm going to be 60 years of age this year. And then you start thinking, well, if I read through the Bible once a year, and let's say I live to be 80, that's only 20 more times. And you start realizing the numbers are dwindling. And for me, it's given me a renewed vigor and passion to go through the Bible. I've been through it so many times. But I talk to my colleagues. Oh, my goodness, I discovered something today that I hadn't seen before.
Isn't it uncanny? It is absolutely. You'll be reading something and you'll go, whoa. You know, I never noticed that before. There was something I was reading casually on the airplane the other day. I was flying, and I often read the Bible when I'm flying because sometimes it'll stimulate a spiritual discussion with the guy sitting next to me. But I guess I was in New Testament, and there's a description of where just before Jesus' ascension, it talked about some of the disciples or some of the apostles doubted, and I'm thinking, what? What do you mean they doubted? They had doubts even at that stage. They, you know, having encountered the resurrected Christ, and my goodness, how could you doubt? And you know, I did a little research and and realize, okay, the word doubt really means hesitations there. It's the same word that's used in Peter when he walked on the water. And it's talking about hesitations. And of course, they'd have some hesitations. My goodness, their world has been turned upside down. All their Jewish traditions are which they thought there'd be one resurrection at the end of time. Now, all of a sudden, this has just turned everything, their world, inside out. So of course, some of them have some hesitations about things. Can this be true? Oh my goodness, this is blowing my mind, but my goodness, he was dead, he's alive. And so it all kind of came alive, but I never noticed that before. And yet, putting it into context, I realized, okay, it's not a stumbling block, but it was just something that struck me. And that's the joy of reading Scripture, is you can never get to the bottom of it completely. There's always exciting discoveries. There's always insights. There's always lessons. There's always things to apply to your life. And it can be, you could spend a lifetime. My son just got his PhD in theology at University of Aberdeen. He spent 4 years studying just one particular aspect of Scripture and its application and writings about it through Jonathan Edwards. And he has a degree in New Testament and so forth, master's degree. You know, he's scratching the surface. I'm scratching the surface. We're all scratching the surface. There is so much depth. And I agree with you, it's life-giving. And the other motivation is, the next generations, the grandkids, the children, and seeing them, and as you quoted yesterday's show, the statistics that fewer and fewer millennials are reading the Bible, we need to be contagious with our enthusiasm about Scripture, that they might catch that disease too and become as enthusiastic as we are.
Just the other day I was reading in 2 Kings of how Josiah found the book of the law in the temple, and then he tore his royal robes because he realized that the kings had not been following the word of God. They had neglected the law of God. And I can put that into my own experience as I watch a biblically illiterate generation. They're not obeying the law of God because they don't know the law of God. In this particular case, he discovered that the kings had stopped celebrating Passover. And Passover, of course, was pointing forward to the ultimate sacrificial lamb, and they were called to be a light to the nations, and they had neglected Passover of all things. And we're doing the same thing, Lee. We're neglecting all kinds of things because we just don't know about them. We don't even know about the Proverbs. Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs in 105 songs. How many of us are in the Proverbs, and yet Proverbs contains every single principle and maxim for successful daily living. So there's so much there, and the problem is we have study Bibles and we're taking it for granted.
We are, and we wonder why our nation, why our world is going the direction it's going. Is there any doubt why we're walking away from God? We're not reading His Word? God has, you step back and you go, wait a minute, what if the God of the universe, the God who breathed the universe into existence, what if He gave us His written word? Well, He has. I mean, think about that for a second. What does that mean? My goodness, how can we not treasure this? I was with Daniel B. Wallace, who's probably one of the leading experts on the Greek New Testament in the world, down in his home, interviewing him for my book, The Case for the Real Jesus. And to see this man who knows the text of the New Testament in Greek as well as anybody anywhere, and to see the old manuscripts he has and the reproductions of the ancient manuscripts that he has and the reverence with which he treats them. And he brought one out, and it was like this treasure, and look at this. And he's showing me the beauty of this ancient manuscript, and not just because it's artistic, but because it is the Word of God that had been hand-copied by scribes generations ago. People died so that we could have this made available to us. And how can we not treat it with reverence? And when we look in our lives and we have questions about where do I go? What direction do I take? What does God have for me? You know what? This book is full of answers. It's full of insights. It's full of principles. It's full of things we can apply every day. That's what I love about it. It's not theological treatise, you know, a theological treatise that talks merely in these abstract terms about life. It is life. It shows the dark side of life. It tells the hope is in Christ. And it is material that we can apply daily that makes a real difference in our spiritual growth, in the way we treat other people, in our relationship with God.
You know, one time or other, I'm reading through the Bible and I'm thinking, why so much detail? And then I have to catch myself and recognize that the Bible is rooted in history and evidence. So it's not blind faith, it's faith in evidence. And the fact that you have all this history and what you find in the scripture corresponds to what is found in the soil. So we can trust the Bible. And how different, let's say, from the Book of Mormon. Now with archaeology and anthropology, the Book of Mormon is shown to be bankrupt. Same thing is true with the Quran. Faulty ethics and factual errors. You find that in the Quran. But just as you pointed out in yesterday's broadcast, that's not true with the Bible. With every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we have more and more evidence that these are 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. So you would think that in our modern epic, people would be salivating over the Word of God. We've got it in so many styles and varieties. We should be salivating. But there's an apathy here, and that's what we're trying to change. Even on this broadcast, it's not just giving you facts, but it's trying to share the passion we have for the Word of God.
You know, I was having a conversation with a Muslim friend of mine, and just exactly what you were talking about. I said, you know, let's set aside faith for a second. Let's just look at the Bible as ancient historical documents and compare it to the Quran. And I said, you mind that? He said, no, go ahead. I said, okay, well, let's talk about the death of Jesus on the cross. Your Quran says in Surah 4, 156 that Jesus didn't die on the cross. Okay, fine. Well, what evidence do I have that he did die? Well, and I went to Scripture and was able to show multiple reports of the death of Jesus on the cross inside Scripture.
By the way, some of that evidence available in the study.
Exactly,
Bible,
in the Case for Christ study Bible. And multiple attestations right there from the first century. We have five ancient sources outside the Bible that corroborate that. We even have an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association saying that, talking about the death of Jesus and how historically sound it is. Even the atheist Gerd Ludemann says that the death of Jesus by crucifixion is an, quote, indisputable historical fact. That's the atheist talking. Now, I said, what have you got to support what the Quran says? Well, you know, Muhammad says an angel told him in a cave 600 years later that it's not true. Well, let's just weigh that out. Where does the evidence more strongly point? Now, he could say to me, as he intimated, you know, I prefer to trust the prophet. That's faith. And I don't think it's well placed because I think the Bible is supported better by historical information and evidence. But we can talk that way about the Bible because it is unique. It is not like the Quran. It is not like the Book of Mormon. It's not like these ancient mythologies that some people say, oh, you know, the idea of Jesus is based on, you know, Attis and Adonis and Osiris and Baal and all these ancient mythologies. Baloney. That just falls apart when you study it. And it is unique. It is life-changing, and, you know, my prayer is that we will have a thirst for the replenishment we can get from Holy Scripture.
And we're so excited to be able to feature the Case for Christ Study Bible right here at the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But don't just hear about it. Do something about it. Order. You can do so online at equip.org. By the way, all the proceeds go to further the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And don't forget, this is a ministry supported by listeners like you. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. The best way to do that, again, on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. Be right back with more.
Thanks for tuning into this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Using a journalist's precision in gathering and presenting evidence, the Case for Christ Study Bible is an engaging, informative resource that motivates seekers and skeptics, as well as longtime Christians, to investigate for themselves the Bible's most compelling claims, the existence of a compassionate God and the promise of eternal life through His Son, Jesus. To order your copy of the Case for Christ Study Bible or any of Lee Strobel's other books or DVDs, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. That translates to 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us to order at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-274. That's 888-7000-274. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. Drawn from Lee Strobel's own experiences as a former atheist and featuring his journalistic style from his days as an investigative reporter with the Chicago Tribune, the notes and articles throughout the Case for Christ Study Bible are designed to motivate you to investigate the Bible's claims for yourself. Whether you're a Christian seeking encouragement in your faith and knowledge about who God is, or a seeker or skeptic searching for answers, you will benefit from Lee's own extensive search for the truth. Available now through the Christian Research Institute, you can order online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. But now let's get back to Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Lee Strobel.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the Case for Christ Study Bible, an incredible resource. I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of Bibles, but I'm going to have one of these as well. The Case for Christ, you have notes that explore
the deity of Jesus Christ and the claims to demonstrate that he is, in fact, the Messiah, the case for faith. You have articles that address questions like, how can there be a God that will allow pain and suffering, and doesn't science prove that the world was created by chance? The case for the Bible, notes that explore the character of the Bible, review the extra-biblical evidence that corroborates Scripture, and explains apparent contradictions within the Bible, and much, much more. Again, a resource that no Christian family should be without. What an incredible epoch of time that we live in, where we have these kinds of resources. Order online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. When you write me, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Want to go to the phone lines, talk to William. He's listening in Tampa Bay, Florida, WTBN. Hi, William.
Hey, Hank. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing good, William. How are you?
Oh, great.
We were just down there. Hank and I were just in your hometown, down in Tampa.
Oh, great. Glad you were able to stop by. It's
yeah.
Out here now. It's a pleasure speaking with you both.
Thanks.
And I wanted to just ask that may God continue to bless both your ministries and seeking to save lost souls to Christ.
Thank you.
My question is basically that I know that Jesus saves, you know, and my question is, as a father for having two kids, and then they're having kids, friends as well, that sometimes they have questions about God, and one of the questions that has been posed that I'm still growing as a Christian is as far as what is God's plan for those that don't know Christ? Well before the first century when Christ came into the world. I mean, is there any hope for those who have never heard of Jesus, or even those now in this world where they may be either through any physical handicap where they don't know Jesus or can't understand mentally about Jesus? I mean, is there any hope?
Yes.
Any
yes.
plan for those people that sincerely may be living God-like lives but just don't know or never heard of God or Jesus?
Sure. Well, the problem is none of us lives God-like life. That's the problem. We're all sinners and we need redemption through Christ because none of us lives a perfect life. But you know, God doesn't grade on a curve, so a person may be a relatively good person living on an island, as you're hypothesizing. There's no gospel presentation readily available, but his goodness is not going to save him because, like all of us, he's fallen short of how we're to live. But, you know, I think a fair reading of Scripture tells us that nobody's going to hell for a lack of information. I believe, based on Scripture, that anybody in any culture, in any place, who calls out to the living God, God will provide a way for them to receive salvation through Christ. Now, he does that in a variety of ways that are unexpected and amazing sometimes. I have a friend, he actually died a few years ago, but he was a friend of mine for a while, lived in Illinois, in Zion, Illinois. He was a Hindu growing up in an area of India where there were no Christians. In fact, it was illegal for Christians to share their faith in that area of India. He was from a wealthy family. He studied Hinduism. He had gurus. And he got to age 17, and he said, wait a minute, these Hindu teachings, they all contradict each other. This doesn't make sense. I mean, one teaching says that unless you do this certain ritual, the sun will not come up. Well, they haven't done this ritual since the 1700s, and the sun still came up. I mean, this is full of problems. And he just said, God, if you're out there, I want to know you. I want to know you. And God sent, against all odds, two missionaries into his life. And even though it was illegal to share their faith, they had a higher calling and led him to Christ. And he became a great follower of Jesus, moved to the States, and was a great influence for him. In some cultures that are closed to the gospel, God intervenes directly through dreams. Many Muslims are coming to faith in cultures that are closed to the gospel because God is reaching out to them through dreams. Muslims have a great, very highly developed theology of dreams, and therefore they may be more receptive than other people might be. But that's the way God is kind of directly reaching some of these people. So you know, God is a loving God. God isn't hiding from us. My goodness, he sent his son to die on the cross. And his hope, the Bible tells us, is that all would come to faith, all would come to repentance. He's holding back the curtain of history because there are still some who will have yet to come into the kingdom. That's how great and wide his love is. So he's not playing hide and seek from anybody. So I do have hope for those. And, you know, Hebrews tells us that there are people mentioned from the Old Testament before the time of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and his earthly ministry who are in heaven. So God, you know, what happened on the cross transcends time. It goes back in history. It goes forward in history. And Hebrews tells us that there are individuals from before the time of Jesus' earthly ministry who are saved. So how much a person needs to know and all that, only God knows that. But God is a God of love. And for those that sincerely reach out to him, I believe he'll provide a way. Now, having said that, you know what? This question is invariably asked by people who have heard. And sometimes it's good to kind of give an explanation, but then say, you know what? You've heard. And if you haven't, I'll tell you right now, God loves you so much. He sent his son to die on the cross to pay your penalty for your sin as your substitute. And if you receive him as your forgiver and leader, as your Lord and Savior, John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. So if you receive this free gift, unearned, unmerited, free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased by his blood shed on the cross, then you will, John 1:12, you will become a child of God. And, you know, it's a wonderful evangelistic opportunity to say, I understand your legitimate question on this issue. It's a legitimate question, and it needs a legitimate answer. But having said it, we're not in the position of not having heard. We live in a nation where the gospel's being broadcast all over the place. There's a church on every street corner. There's this show. There's so many ways that people hear. For us, it's often not a question of not hearing. It's a question of hard hearts that see general revelation, that see God's evidence of, we see evidence of unseen things through what God has made, Romans says. So we see the evidence of God's creation. It points us toward God. And when we respond to that little bit of light, God will give us more light. He will bring us into the light and reach us with the gospel. So, you know, for the individual, we can always, you know, kind of then say, you know, what about you? What about you? You've heard. Isn't it time that you say, you know what? I need more than just head knowledge. I need, John 1:12 says, I need to not just believe, I need to receive Jesus as my forgiver and leader. So that's not to say it's an illegitimate question. It's a legitimate question. But hopefully for those who've heard, it's an issue generally of the heart. Are you going to receive? Are you going to humbly in repentance and faith reach out as a and receive this gift that we can never earn, offered out of purely the love and grace of God?
Okay. I did have another, just a brief question relating to this. It's just that I was told that, like, the book of to the Romans, I guess, by the Apostle Paul, apparently there were some chapters in there that might have related to this, but I guess I'm still unclear about it, whether or not those that may have fallen under the law, who had received the law, whether or not those who never received the law was and behaved so that they were naturally obeyed the laws. Would that seem to fall under this type of situation? I mean,
yeah, that's Romans chapter 2. And here's what you have, and Lee touched on this beautifully. You have in Romans chapter 1 the light of creation. So you have an outer light that testifies, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. In Romans chapter 2, we have the law, which is written on the tablet of our consciousness. So we have an inner light. God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our heart. So if we respond to the light of creation and the light of conscience, we will then receive the light of Christ. As Jesus said so beautifully, and certainly Lee underscored, light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is men love darkness. darkness. And another thing Lee alluded to, and this comes in Acts chapter 17, you have Paul clearly saying that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And then Paul says, God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. So God placed people in ideal circumstances so that they could reach out for him and find him. One other quick postscript, and this is something we need to realize, and this again is in concert with what Lee said. God's not hiding from us. He's not capricious. He loves us, and if we want a relationship with him, he wants a relationship with us. God is not going to force himself on people that do not want him, but those that want him, he is not going to hide from. In fact, hell is for those who do not want a relationship with God in time, and therefore do not want a relationship with him in eternity. And therefore, if God did not give us hell, God wouldn't give us choice. And as a result of that, the righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. Yeah. So we can, on that basis, even going to another point that you made, William, we can leave those people who have limited faculties or kids that die early, we can leave them in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, knowing that God is not going to reject anyone that could have or would have had a relationship with him. So much more could be said about this. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but the Case for Christ Study Bible answers many of these questions. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And Lee, thank you for the effort that went into producing this kind of a resource for people in this generation.
It was a joy to do, and I just pray it's a ministry that God will use to bring people to faith, encourage those who are Christians to reach out to others, as you emphasize time after time. This is not a message that we hoard. This is a message that we proclaim. This is a message that we share. And what an opportunity, even today, just to get the gospel out onto the airwaves. And I just pray someone listening says, I need Jesus. And even in this moment, they pray in repentance and faith and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's my prayer that even that we have people come into faith at this very moment, just because in God's providence, today was the day they had the radio tuned to the Bible Answer Man.
Well, once again, we are tackling the problem of biblical illiteracy this year and always looking for incredible resources that will build you up in the faith, and this is one such resource. Again, it's called The Case for Christ. It's the study Bible available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We want to thank Lee Strobel for joining us these past 2 days. Unlike other Bibles, the Case for Christ Study Bible does not tell you what you should or should not believe. Rather, its goal is to help you solidify your confidence in the Bible through well-researched information that will allow you to discover the truth for yourself. Order your copy of the Case for Christ Study Bible today, and be sure to check out Lee's other resources as well at equip.org. You can also order by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That translates to 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved,
Doctrine, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and Feet, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.